Do you suck at money? Don't worry, you're not alone. That's why Matt and I created this podcast, How to Money.
That's right, Joel. Money can be intimidating, and we're all about changing that perception. We're two best friends making money conversations fun and interesting and helping people suck a whole lot less at this money thing.
So whether you want to save more, buy a home, or just gain a better perspective on a subject that affects all of us, listen and subscribe to our show on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for How to Money.
By us, by the way.
Good job.
And so
nice
Keith
work.
Law was like, oh, okay, this escalated quickly. And then Daniel Jeremiah, who's the color commentator for the Chargers, so who knows that you stepped away from that job.
I didn't get my Christmas gift from him, by the way.
He's like, he made it sound like he was going to get you
like,
a car.
He's like, going to be better in the Jeremiah house this year, and then nothing.
It's I Love You Man Friday. So, Daniel, I love you.
Oh, Nick, I love you too, man. I love you too. It's going to be a little bit better Christmas this year at the Jeremiah household because you decided to take a break from this Charger gig, so I really do love you.
That was the most honest response.
He said, oh, it was like the Dumb and Dumber riding on the back of the scooter. He's like, just let it go, man. He's like, oh, God, that's
good. I think
good.
I had to clean out my ears after that sound.
Thank you, pal. Whoa. Just really enjoying this gig.
Coming in hot.
Doing a great job, too.
Let me hear it again.
Man, see what happens? It's all good. That is all good. You know, it's funny walking around the Super Bowl. Everybody's like, why'd you get rid of that gig? And it's like, well, I like doing this better.
You're being interviewed.
I was like, yeah. Why would you do such a thing? Ross Tucker is like, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
Brian Baldinger. What happened? It's like, dude, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I love him still. Just, that wasn't my thing.
Well, in fairness to you, you know, you're back of your football card's a little bit longer than some of those guys.
That's true.
You know?
That is true.
I mean, it's longer. It's those guys are longer than the rest of us out here, but again.
But you also get it. Yeah, you get to make decisions in life.
Yes.
And I choose health and I choose family. It's funny. I was listening to something as I was kind of going through that decision-making process. Like, because I remember running into Baldy up at the StubHub Center, and Baldy's like, dude, you got the golden ticket, man. You can have this job for the next 30 years. He's like, smooth sailing. He's like, never let go of this gig, brother. Never let go of this gig.
When was this?
That was during the last year that I was calling it. So not last season, but the year before. And he came into the booth and we were doing a little pregame show with him. And then afterwards, that's kind of what he said. He's like, dude, never let go of this. And in the middle of it, I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, this is a lot of travel. It hurts my body to sit on planes and to be alone by myself. And that kind of always did it for me. It was like flying out of San Diego by myself, going to a city by myself, being in a hotel room, preparing for the game by myself. Mm-hmm. It was like calling a game, which I don't have any input into. So it's like, I feel good for them. I didn't really feel good for myself. It's like, hey, I called a good game. And then I would come home and it's like total isolation. But sitting in a hotel room, I remember listening to a podcast or seeing something on Instagram. It's like, you can say you value something, but if your time doesn't sync up with what you value, then you really are just paying lip service to what you say you value.
Completely.
Right? So I value my family, so I had to sync up my time with the family time that I was spending. And that still sits very well with me today. It's like 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. It's like, they need dad, dude.
Yeah.
I'm trying to show them not just like how to work hard. It's like work hard, but also be there for them.
No doubt. And I also think, because, you know, there are people that, even those that work in the industry, think of you having a dream job. You can imagine those who don't work in the industry and are big-time football fans.
What an idiot.
Right. Would see it as a dream job. But I do think there's something valuable in keeping in mind that just because you're afraid to let go of it because other people want it doesn't mean it isn't the best situation for you.
Yeah, right. It's like, a personal thing.
Right. And I mean, and those, you can apply that to your own life, whether it's not a color commentator job in the NFL or not.
Yes.
You can always apply that to your own life from a standpoint of, do I love this or not? Removing all outside forces and pressures telling me what I should be doing. Like someone giving you the 30-year thing. Like, one, nothing's guaranteed. And two, you decide if you want to do it for the next 30 years.
Right. And everything that goes along with it. So the 3 hours that you're on air is awesome.
Yes.
Like, that's really fun, being in person, watching a game on Sunday, but all of the work that it took to get to that 3 hours, it was not awesome for me. It was not at all what I don't know how we ended up here. I feel like our show could be called that. How did we get here? How did we get here?
Listen,
it was Daniel Jeremiah.
It was DJ. Yeah, it was Daniel Jeremiah. We definitely have a rundown, but I also just enjoy an open canvas. In fact, on a Valentine's Day, 844-570-1360, you want to share the love, whether it's sports or other, we'll do that. 7:30 specifically, we are going to allow you to give your boo a shout out. That's right, I said boo. And so 7:30, we will wrap it around. Maybe we'll do our own, and we'll let you do it. But the phone lines are, of course, open, 844-570-1360. And, by the way, specifically, we'll get to this. I want to know, you Padre fans out there, what's the percentage that you believe that Manny Machado could actually become a Padre or Bryce?
CJ's number went down. It's got to be going back up now.
He was at
30%. So remember, he went from 30 to 20.
Yes.
I think he's got to be coming back up now.
Still not hearing CJ.
I'm not hearing anything coming out of one Machado's camp. So you hear the Padres with the aggressive offer. You're not hearing really anything from the White Sox, except they have left a space in between the locker of there's two White Sox players, and they're both kind of related, really good friends with Manny Machado. One's a brother-in-law or something like that.
Right. And before I get to that, on a Valentine's Day, I got to tell you, yesterday I was in for the fusion. So I was talking with all those knuckleheads.
Oh, good God.
Right down the row.
Nice.
Hartman, Costa, Wheelard. And I ran past them advice that you gave me for Valentine's. And I thought that, you know, especially Wheelard, because he seems like a big crier. Like, I envision he just wakes up on Valentine's crying.
Yes.
And so I ran it past him that you said for a first Valentine's. And, of course, it was Hartman's first Valentine's with his fiance 100 years ago, whenever that was. So he immediately made it about him. But the advice
you don't
that you
think,
get,
huh?
to set really? The bar low, they all across the board agreed with you. And I was like, do we not have one romantic man
set
in this
the bar?
Booth?
I like to set the bar low. But I
well,
think
no, you, but, you set yeah, this, but I also, set the bar low.
I also like what you've done. So we came in, and I know what you've done. I'm not going to put it out there. Happy Valentine's Day to Lauren, to Jamie.
To Jamie, that's right.
Yes.
To Kendall. That's right.
Yes, so thank you very much there. But I like the gift that you've done.
Okay, good.
Because, yes.
Okay.
And we'll kind of leave it at that. But yeah,
she's a pretty heavy listener.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good morning, Lauren. Is she awake now?
She, you know what she does? she falls back asleep to the show.
Does she? She wakes up, hears you. She's like,
we put her to sleep.
So, okay, good. You've made it to work safe and sound. Yeah. All the weather. Boy, it was windy last night.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
we got a real rainstorm going on.
That was a lot. Yes, that means it's dumping up in the mountains.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ain't kidding.
It's gonna
Mammoth is getting it.
Yeah.
You're going to have some fresh tracks, man.
I got some friends who are stuck up there.
Really?
Yeah. Dillman's got stuck up there.
That's a good place to be stuck. As long as you're not on the side of the road.
That's true.
At your cabin or wherever you're staying.
Yeah, you're all good.
It's a good place to be stuck.
Throw another log on the fire. It's Valentine's Day, baby. Come on.
Okay, I am...
Go back to your room, kids. Nothing to see here.
I'm a little bit obsessed with where baseball is right now.
Yes.
Like, to me, across the board, yep. I know, I'm looking forward to the AAF. The Aztecs are red hot. We got the Brian Dutcher show coming up 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to spend our Valentine's Day with Dutch at 6 p.m., so that'll be fun. But the state of baseball and where Manny and Bryce land, I can't believe we are where we are. I know J.D. Martinez didn't sign until into spring training. These are stars, and Major League Baseball teams are saying, nuh-uh, I can analytics my way around their ability and tell you why we don't want to spend that much money.
Not good. Not a good place for baseball to be. I really don't feel like. They're just saying that anybody will do. I hate the value play. I talked about it yesterday. It's like baseball is about sports. Professional sports is a luxury item for all of us. Don't show us the value in players. You've talked about it. Devaluing your stars in baseball. Baseball needs to strike. Like now, baseball needs to strike.
Come on,
they
Nick.
Need to strike now. Yes. You've got two of the brightest young stars that you're going to have in a decade right now that are free agents that can't get the money that they deserve that we all can see is out there for them to have. The owners are hoarding the money. The owners are hiding behind rebuilding. The owners are hiding behind the freaking Royals, the Cubs, the Astros. They're hiding behind that and not being willing to part with their money that they are taking in hordes right now. We're talking about $12 billion of revenue, and there's no minimum spend for these owners. They are raking in the cash. They're devaluing pitchers. I mean, look, this Aaron Nola guy, Aaron Nola, he's the Phillies' real young ace.
Right.
They still had him under arbitration for the next several years. He just signed a four-year contract extension with a fifth-year club option. Club option, not player option, club option. Dude was freaking out. So it was known that he wanted to go year to year with the team. He's like, I'm going year to year. Every player wants to test out free agency, wants to see what it's like, go into arbitration, maybe get $20 million a year. This dude signs a four-year extension worth $45 million. $10 million a year. Great contract. For the regular human, $10 million is an awesome contract. You know what Clayton Kershaw is making? Clayton Kershaw is making $31 million average per year.
Good Lord.
$31 million average per year. Now, is Aaron...
He tops out at 91.
Is Aaron Nola Clayton Kershaw? Probably not. But as we know in football, it doesn't matter. The market should continue to ascend as the TV revenue continues to ascend. So you're going to get... Guys like Joe Flacco at some point are going to set the bar. Matt Ryan's going to set the bar. You're going to have another quarterback, Kirk Cousins, come in at $30 million, set the bar. And then it's going to reset because Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest, is going to set it at 33. Okay, good. Now we feel good because we got one of the best making the most money. But then there's going to be a time when Dak Prescott, $34 million. Jerry Jones is going to do something stupid. We still got to talk about that, by the way.
Yeah. There,
that still has to be talked about.
7 o'clock.
But players are freaking out.
Right.
They are freaking the F out, and they should be because the owners are not paying them the money that they deserve. They need to take the power back. They've got to take the power back, and the only way to do it is go, you've got the money. We need the money. Revenues are increasing. Percentage of overall revenue to players is decreasing at a staggering rate. You could say you got raked over the coals in the CBA and you did it to yourself. Or you could just strike and you could say this situation is it's beyond coming back together for. You've got two of the brightest stars. Everybody was waiting on them to sign. Everybody, every team had gone like, we're going to wait till next year because Bryce and Manny are out there. Every single team was doing the exact same thing. And now they're like, eh, we're good. We don't need these guys. We don't need a long-term contract. We'll wait and see. It's like you're going to wait and see on two 26-year-olds that are transcendent players in the game that are like the brightest stars and you're not going to pay them the money. To me, it's just this is where the players go. We're going to use these two players as the guys that we build our strike upon. Bryce and Manny. This is the Bryce and Manny strike right here. It's time to roll so you don't have guys like Aaron Nola taking $15, $20 million less per season than they should be getting.
The new CBA is in 2021, right?
Yes.
So you're creeping upon when typically strikes happen when you're at a CBA instead of them just saying, what's happening right now, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's a chance you could have singular strikes by a couple players named Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. I'm not convinced that because the season is starting, they're going to be forced into action. Like, it's like, all right, we're 2 weeks away. Now I have to sign the best contract in front of me. I could see both of them say, no, it's not happening.
They should.
I mean, you look at the absurdity of the money, but then if you also look at the business in itself, like if I were a Bryce Harper type in any business, and you looked at the business overall making what are they $12 billion a year?
They're killing it,
and I'm the face of that business.
Yes, they're killing it. And they shouldn't be.
Because the season is starting, I'm not going to be forced into action.
No. They need to learn from all of the other leagues. They need to learn from the players in the NFL. They need to learn from the players in the NBA. They got to find a way to put their foot down, put their flag in the ground, and take the power back. I mean, there's a rap song about this.
Yes.
Right?
It's a Public Enemy.
We got to take the power back.
That is Public Enemy.
That is Public Enemy.
Shout out Chuck D. Flavor
what's
Flav.
What's up, y'all?
Yeah, a lot of street cred over
good
here
morning.
For me.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Chuck D in the house. Now, the question is, much like last year, do the Padres benefit from this poor state that baseball is in currently? And do they have the best offer on the table? Now, if I were to go down the path of CJ and give you a percentage, somebody play me some Tom Brady, I got 0.0.
Nothing.
Of Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. Like, when I tweeted out, retweet if you want Adam Jones to be a Padre, and people are like, I don't want Adam, I want Manny. I don't want Adam, I want Bryce. And it's like, it ain't happening.
Yeah,
but that's just me. I could be totally off. I could be completely wrong.
I'm giving him better and better chances the longer this thing goes along.
All right, give me your percentage.
25% chance.
For both? I mean, either or?
For Manny. No, I'm not. Bryce is zero. I'm giving Bryce Harper a 0% chance.
Why?
Because the Padres haven't offered anything. They came out after, and there's been news about the Manny Machado aggressive contract offer. They went to Vegas, They met with Bryce, and both of them just agreed that this wasn't going to work, apparently.
They also have zero third basemen.
Yes.
They have outfielders they can run out there and convince us that they're going to see if they're the future, but
I know Manny with the hustle thing, like, that chaps my ass.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not willing to hustle, okay, but you're in the NLCS and you're talking publicly about not willing to hustle. Like, that's a mind-bending.
That cost him.
That's... I don't know. I don't know.
I think that cost him millions and millions and millions.
I don't think so. I think baseball, there's got to be a case of collusion going on right here. These owners are just like, they are hoarding the freaking money. I don't think that cost him. I don't think that's why he's unsigned.
My money, my problems.
I really don't feel like that's why he's
unsigned.
Don't
we know it, Fletch?
I think everybody's just holding out on the players. I think the owners have kind of agreed to just cross their arms and hold out on the players and the Padres are going to be the beneficiary of that. They've got a legitimate chance to land a Manny Machado. It just comes down to, is he going to freak out? Is he going to flinch? Because if I'm Manny, would I trust the Padres are going to navigate the prime of my career flawlessly? Or are they going to be able to help me cement my legacy in Major League Baseball? I wouldn't have faith in it based on what they've done over the last 20 years. But from the Padres' standpoint, you throw out an aggressive offer, $175, $200 million, whatever the offer is, we don't know. You may get him because they are now the lowest alternative that Manny's got. Is anybody else throwing anything out there?
Well, how often do you hear from a player that he doesn't know if he wants to be on that team? I can't remember the last time I heard that where that's much more kind of NFL related where it's like, don't draft me. Don't draft me because I don't want to be your quarterback. That's kind of what I feel coming from Manny Machado a little bit. It's like, I don't, like the West Coast thing. When have you ever heard, I don't like sunshine.
He wants to be a Yankee.
I don't like 72 degrees.
He wants to be a Yankee, but the Yankees may not want him. That's what it is. He wants to be a Yankee. He's courting the Yankees, but the Yankees may not want him. The Phillies, they want him. The White Sox, they want him.
The one part that isn't collusion to me is saying no to a player who is demanding a 10-year deal. A 10-year deal to me is just bad, bad business. That team, even if I were a fan of the White Sox or a fan of, I don't know, where I'm a fan of the Nationals, I'd be like, please resign my favorite player.
Yeah.
But if I were the Phillies, I'd be like, yeah, they're not going to demand 10 years so that age 34, 35, 36, that they're being paid this monstrous amount of money and eating up potential young talent to kind of flush into the system.
Yeah, I understand that thought. And I get it with Manny, too, as far as like the hustle thing and what's he going to look like at 34, 35 years old? Is he going to spill over? Yeah. Is he going to take care of himself? Is he going to learn to hustle more when he's older and not feeling near as good? Is he going to be productive when he's older? But you could get him right in his prime for his entire prime. Even if you go 10 years, $300 million if you're the Padres. Dude, imagine that. They then have a large window to be able to do what they say they're going to do. They're going to make the run in 21. It's pushed back now, but they could do that, and you've got to pay. Would it be worth $300 million at any point along the line to be a good enough team to win a championship? Would it be, if you're paying $300 mil over the next 10 years, and then you can play some young players and you've got room for pitching. They have.
If it meant to championship.
Yes.
Okay. If it meant to championship, one out of 10 years, Hell yes. Amen. The Cubs went 108 Amen. Years.
Yeah.
As my dad used to say, the effing Marlins have two.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being a Cubs fan watching the Marlins. The Diamondbacks had one before you had a... So, yes, to answer that question.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, it kind of comes to the Will Myers thing. It's like, do you want them to trade Will Myers? Like, I kind of want them to spend money.
Right.
If they're wasting... If they're spending more money on a player than what he's worth... But he's still producing. Will Myers hit 250, 260 every year. He's going to be he's solid. I'm not, he's solid. He's fine. Will's fine.
Will's not solid.
He's fine.
He is a fragile, delicate body.
I know.
You know what I'm waiting on, by the way, speaking of Padres? You know what I'm waiting on from our buddy Dennis Lynn, because he was on it last year? The weight of Will Myers. I'm not saying he came in fat. He reportedly came in with muscle.
Like 222.
20-some pounds heavier. What did he decide to do this offseason with his body?
I hope he tightened it down.
Does he come in like 135?
No.
Be lighter.
No, it needs to be about 215. 215 lean. So we put all the size on last year. Let's tighten that package down this year. This is what you do as you get older. You expand, you contract, you expand, you contract.
It's happening.
This needs to be the year of contraction for Will Myers.
As you do that with your hands, you're actually showing my waistline.
Tighten
expand
it up.
And contract. Expand and contract.
Costa Hartman. Costa Hartman. Costa Hartman. I am never going to urge a team, especially a Major League Baseball team, with where we're at in this climate right now, to spend less money. I'm not going for. I don't want any more damn value. Like, screw your value plays.
But Major League Baseball,
spend some money, man.
Major League Baseball is telling us, because you and I, we both agreed, if you get a championship for 10 years of a contract, well, these guys okay. Major League Baseball is telling us, on that same train of thought, we can be more successful without those guys by spending money in other ways.
Yeah, so, that's the story they want you to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want you to believe you can do it through the farm. They want you to believe they can do it without stars. They want you to believe you can do it, and you can a little bit with an opener. But is that what we want as fans? Is that what we want? We want just another guy. We call him Jags in football. We want just another guy out there filling the role. Like, how many – and bless him – seriously, I love this dude. I love this player. I mean, he's one of the draws to the ballpark, but how many Travis Jankowskis can one team have?
You can pick right? on like, your guy?
He's my guy, but
he's
it's
your
like.
Guy. And you, of all the examples, yeah, you got to use Jank.
You've got to have nice, stable players who hustle and do all the little things right, but you also have to have talent.
Yes.
You don't win without the talent. It's like, we got to have the workmen. We got to have the Yemen, but then we also have to have the captains of the ship. We got to have the stars. You have to have the good starting pitching staff. You got to have the good corners of the infield. It's like, spend the money, get the stars, win the games.
Can I make a dramatic statement?
Let's do it.
I am not watching a game of baseball until Bryce Harper signs. I am boycotting baseball.
Amen, bro.
Because I agree with what you just said. I need stars in my game. Baseball's Barrett, Manny Machado.
Fans need a strike.
I am not watching a game of baseball. That's kind of tough for the job that I have.
If the Dodgers said Cody Bellinger,
tough to cover.
Well, you can read all about it.
Read all about it.
Extra, read all about it. That's
right. That's a good slogan for this, too. Extra, read all about
extra,
it.
Extra, read
I'm
all about it.
I'm boycotting baseball until Bryce has a job.
Fan strike, man. Fan strike. That's what I'm talking about.
Woo!
We're taking the power back. Pay the players the money. All right, did the Broncos just become a bigger threat to the Chargers? Or would have Nick Foles maybe have been a better fit? Should John Elway get fired next?
3-3.
Love the optimism, Hartman, on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. If you want to hang out with us, give us a call, 844-570-1360. We're going to be talking some Lakers basketball coming up in 15 minutes. Would the Lakers be better off to miss the playoffs this year? And how can these young guys be expected to grow? I want to talk about Luke Walton and kind of what's happening with management and how the players can trust anybody. Is there any potential for growth?
More like puke Walton. No writer. Disappointment Fletch just gave me in that. Wow.
Yeah.
Get your head up. Come on.
Not good.
Look at this guy resting his elbow.
Pick it
Let's
up,
go.
Pal. Pick it
Come
up.
Come on.
Pick it up, pal. You can totally do
Come
this.
Come on. I need more. Give me that. He's deep in that Carhartt jacket.
Oh, he looks.
I'm watching you.
Plush, so man.
Cozy. I'm all over you on that after
He's
that
super
Ryan
plush.
Fitzpatrick thing yesterday.
Country boy will survive. That's why he didn't know a public enemy. And then you show up today, you're like flannel on flannel on flannel.
I am
blessed.
Bless them.
Straight blessings, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Just coming on with the blessings. All right, Joe Flacco goes to the Broncos yesterday for a fourth-round pick. That's by Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Fourth-round pick for Joe Flacco, former Super Bowl MVP. Had a great year, didn't he? That one year.
I was very supportive of Lamar Jackson.
Great year.
Yeah, Case had a
Not last year.
Who had a better year
Not last year, the 2012 year when Joe Flacco had the really good Super Bowl run, the playoff run, after he was like, nah, I'm going to play this one out. I'm going to test free agency out. God, that worked out so well for him, didn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, thank goodness for Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, that defense that they had that was just vicious. They had a really good run game, and then Joe Flacco had a really good playoff stretch.
You know, when they read these articles, it all says former MVP, former Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco. It's like, yeah, I'm not putting that in his title. He's Joe Flacco. I mean, it's there's
not giving it to him, dude.
At some point in time, like maybe when his career is over,
Jesus.
But you can't read a guy's name making it sound like he's just the hottest thing under the sun when it comes to throwing a football. I mean, 2012, I think we were close to our 20s then. A long time ago. It's 2019.
Let's not get off with that whole thing. You know what I like to look at when I look at quarterbacks, and this is how I evaluate them? How many coordinators have you gotten fired over your time? Or how many quarterbacks have you gotten hired over your time? So I would argue Matt Ryan's got a lot of coaches hired in his time. I would argue Joe Flacco, you could not even look at the numbers. Just look at how many offensive coordinators this fool's been through in the last 10 years.
It's like a Padres hitting coach job.
I don't mean fool. Joe Flacco's probably a great dude, but evaluating his play, that's what I'm talking about. So, sorry, Joe Flacco. I'm not calling you a fool. You're probably a great dude.
I paid a fool.
Yeah, sorry.
I paid a coordinator. I'm
just getting a little over my skis here.
I paid a coordinator to work for Joe Flacco.
But, I mean, look at this. It's like, okay, he went... Cam Cameron was there for four years in Baltimore.
Get
then
fired.
Jim Caldwell comes in for 2 years. Gary Kubiak comes in. Trestman comes in for a couple of years. He splits time with Marty Morningweg. Marty Morningweg out this year. And then I forget who their coordinator is now this time around. So 2019, they've got a new coordinator. Got to be working with Lamar Jackson. I'm just going back through these years here. And I'm like, let's.
Right. Although one of the names you mentioned has to do with him being in Denver.
Gary Kubiak.
Yes, and Vic Fangio was the linebackers coach for a number of years with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
So those two, that's the connection that really did lead to, well, John Elway's like,
yeah,
guys,
yes,
you better be right here.
John Elway better be right here.
Well, hasn't been right in 5 years.
Do you have the list handy of John Elway?
Do we still think that John Elway would fire John Elway?
Yes, he should.
Yes.
Yeah, if he could, he would.
Yesterday. He's like, after this move, he'd be like, okay,
he's
don't know what the hell you're looking at.
You know where, and here's why I really do think John Elway should fire himself. Okay, go for the list here.
All right, well, sign Peyton Manning as a free agent. More like...
Good move.
And you made this point yesterday. Peyton Manning chose John Elway, much like LeBron James chose Magic Johnson.
Yes.
So that worked out pretty well. But ever since then, he drafted Brock Osweiler 57th in 2012. You know who was still on the board, by the way, when he drafted Brock Osweiler? Our buddy Mike Florio reminded me of this. A little quarterback by the name of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was still on the board.
Didn't have the prototype. Not prototype, though. Not 6 foot tall.
The Jags took a punter 3 picks before Russell Wilson was selected. In 2012.
How's his career going?
They took Blake Bortles the next year in 2013.
I love this game. I love the retrospective draft picks. Drew Brees was a second rounder.
Yeah.
Tom Brady was a sixth rounder.
If I'm stealing from what I heard this morning as well, the Broncos took back Paxton Lynch, where Jerry Jones really wanted Paxton, and they ended up with Dak Prescott.
I don't know if that's a win.
All right, let's go back to this. Drafted Brock Osweiler.
I don't know if Jerry made out better or not there.
57th in 2012. Drafted Trevor Siemian in the 7th round, then traded up for Paxton for the 26th pick overall in 2016. Then signed Case Keenum to a 2-year, $36 million deal and traded for Joe Flacco yesterday.
Yeah, Joe Flacco. So our buddies over at footballperspective.com, they do all these graphs. It's crazy, the analysis that they can give and breaking down the data and everything. Baltimore's passing offense, and this is like way above my pay grade when it comes to math, but standard deviations, they were 0.48 standard deviations below average. but the team was 0.84 standard deviations above average when it came to wins. So what the point is, there's two teams who are real outliers in working against their quarterback to be able to come up with wins. It was the New York Jets and it was the Baltimore Ravens, and the Ravens beat everybody by a vast amount of quarterback play to number of organizational wins. So they've been working against Joe Flacco since 2008. This is a decade of information that they pulled. 2008, like a larger gap than anybody working against Joe Flacco. Hate to tell you, John Elway, he ain't your guy. And no. Here's why I say John Elway's got to go. He did a fabulous job with the Super Bowl. I mean, like, constructing all that, kind of making the magic happen, getting Peyton Manning to come out, buy in. You get one guy like that.
Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward, DeMarcus Ware all had big, big things to do with that championship.
And his first signing ever, his first draft pick ever was Von Miller.
Yes.
Great move. Super Bowl MVP. Great move.
Number three overall?
Everything since Von Miller has been not up to that standard.
No.
And every free agent signing since Peyton Manning has not been up to that standard. And I say he's got to get fired because it's like a ball of yarn that's all been mixed up and mashed up and tied in knots and everything. They have lost their direction. They have no idea who they are anymore. Are they a team built on defense? I heard it this morning. It's like, oh, that defense is still really good. No, they're not. They're middling defense. They still have some good players. Sure, they can make plays. Sure, Bradley Chubb was good last year. Okay. But they're a mess. They don't have an offensive line. They don't have a notable receiver. They don't have a notable tight end. Their secondary is not near as strong as it once was. So what do they have? They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're going to build on. They're going to build on Philip Lindsay. Are they going to be a running football team? What are they going to be? They don't know. And that's why I say sometimes it's like, you don't know how you got here, but you need to scrap the whole operation and just start again. They need to blow it up, start over again, and do it without John Elway. And then that signifies to the fan base, we are rebuilding. We have gotten rid of our general manager. We brought in a new coaching staff. You can do the Flacco thing. I guess you got to live with this for another year or two.
I think the Broncos may have a bigger problem more so than John Elway.
The ownership group.
Pat Bowlen as an owner.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Bowlen, they had won the most regular season games of any other team in the NFL since Pat Bowlen took over. He is still alive. He has not passed as of yet, but he virtually is gone. For those that, you know, had older family members, you understand what that means. How does the new ownership group, whoever it is, run the business and run that operation like Pat Bowlen, who is one of the greatest to ever do it in the NFL, does?
That's You're watching Game of Thrones forward. Now.
I am.
From the people that we know in Denver, it's a lot like Game of Thrones going on with Pat Bowlen and trying to figure out who's going to take the rights for the Denver Broncos, who's going to be the real ownership group. It's a mess, and as we always say, it starts at the top and it trickles its way down. Until they figure that out, it's going to continue to be a mess. I guess that said, John Elway may just ride this thing out.
Probably. Or buy him.
Or sell the team. All right, coming up with the Lakers, be better off to miss the playoffs. Next.
.com.
Hey, good morning. Coming up today at noon on Mark and Rich. Ben Albright is going to join us on the quarterback offseason that has been and will be. We'll continue to watch for baseball free agents as well. Talk to you at noon, Extra 1360 and FM 103.3.
We're probably not where we want to be, but we're still close enough. So we got a challenge ahead of us coming back after All-Star, and we got some work to do. But I think we have a group that's up for that challenge. We'll look forward to attacking that when we get back after it.
That was the exciting electric voice of Luke Walton. You want to talk Lakers? Jump in, 844-570-1360. By the way, coming up at 7 o'clock, is there one quarterback out there that should take the Tom Brady blueprint and apply it? We'll tell you what we mean coming up in just a little bit. We also are giving away a... Are you okay?
Yeah.
You okay? That sounded like a real sneeze.
I've got some advice for Dak.
We've got AAF tickets to give away every single hour for the rest of the week. It's Thursday, so that means today and tomorrow. But we have not given away a pair in the 6 o'clock hour, meaning stick around, because within minutes, we've got a 4-pack of tickets to give away. We are doing it, Mark and Rich, the Loose Cannons, the rest of the week as well, to send you out to Sunday's game against the Atlanta Legends. We'll have that game for you right here on Extra with kickoff at 5 p.m. on Sunday. The Lakers.
Oh.
They suck.
Yeah, they're in 10th right now. They're in 10th.
28 and 29.
Yep.
Quick math tells me there's about a third of the season. 28 plus 29.
57 games.
50, okay, so yeah, 80,
minus 82.
Yeah, 82 okay. Minus 57.
Good, nailed it.
That comes out to...
And 25 games.
25 is what I have.
25 games.
Would you have 25? 25 is what I have.
That's exactly what I came up with.
25 remaining games.
Top of the head.
Yep, did the Lakers miss the playoffs?
Nailed it. Very potentially. Yeah. Sitting, there are four games right now behind the Kings, who are ninth, and they are more games behind the Clippers. So, yes, right now they do, and I think they're really kind of in disarray. Part of the issue is, I mean, okay, so imagine you're Rob Pelinka, you're Magic Johnson, and you've made the statement publicly that we're willing to sell the farm to bring in Anthony Davis to join with LeBron James. The only one safe is LeBron. That's it. So you're these young players now, and how do you navigate these waters? So you hear Luke Walton there, and you said, real ball of fire, Luke Walton, or whatever is his wife.
Electric.
Luke Walton.
Yeah.
After a loss, I'm assuming the other night in Atlanta. Was it Atlanta that they lost
Atlanta
to? Who'd they lose to? They lose last night?
No. I don't think
that was
they
Atlanta.
Did not lose because they didn't play. But the last time they played, it was the Hawks. It was, our buddy Geeter did say in post, it is absolutely the worst loss of the season. They've had some bad ones, but the Hawks are woeful.
Worst loss of the season? What about, yes, LeBron's worst loss of his career?
The Hawks was worse. That's how bad the Hawks are.
That's how bad that is.
Yes.
Okay. So here, imagine this. So you've been told as a young player that you are going to be traded. You're gone. You're out. You're not really that valuable. You're kind of just dudes. Like, we don't see you trending in the right direction. LeBron really doesn't want to keep you. What do you do if you're Luke Walton? Like, how are you going to approach this if you're Luke Walton coming to these young players and the first 3-4 years of your career are the most important? They're foundational years of your career. I've seen guys come in to the NFL with way more talent than me. They got coached up poorly, that never turned into what they should be because they had a really crap foundation. So these young players coming in, you're not worth it. We're not going to put any more time, effort, energy into you. And Luke Walton's trying to coach this team to the playoffs. What does he say to these guys? Boys, I still love you. I still love you. I still want you. I still need you. But what are the players say back to him in their little circle?
Right.
They're like, hey, Luke says he loves us. And then somebody's like, Luke doesn't have any power around here. Luke's just holding on for dear life like the rest of us. Like, Luke's
his job security could be less than mine.
Luke's at LeBron's whim. Whenever LeBron's done with Luke, the Lakers are done with Luke.
And it wasn't Magic or Pelinka's hire.
Right. So if you're the young players, if you're Kyle Kuzma, if you're Brandon Ingram, if you're Lonzo Ball, and Luke's trying to coach you up right now and be like, this is really important for your career, you're looking at Luke going, save it, dude. Just save it. We're going to come out here. We're going to play. But you imagine the urgency has to be lost on these guys right now.
Completely. And the trust. And the wear and tear on LeBron's body. I'm not convinced that just end the season when it ends.
It'd be better off for everybody that he doesn't.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, the playoff experience, the thing that.
They're not going anywhere. I mean, come on. They're not going anywhere. It doesn't matter if they make it to the playoffs. Like, save it. Save a week. Save a week and a half of effort. Save LeBron redlining. Like, I've been telling people that are coming for, like, health and fitness advice, like, hey, don't give above your 80% threshold. Right. Just pace yourself. It's a really long life. You want to save your body. It's like,
LeBron didn't get, what did he get, 2 months off?
He had 18 games off.
18 games off.
But still, more is probably necessary. He's played 3 seasons of playoff basketball. He's made it to seemingly every single finals. You want to talk about adding months or shortening years on the back of your career. You add months on at the end of every season, and then you are always redlining 80 to 100%. It wears you down, man. He needs a year off. He could probably use it. You hear his comments yesterday?
Yes.
He's like, if we don't make the playoffs, it happens. It's kind of, it ends when it ends. We'll worry about it then. It's like, geez.
I told you I was worried about LeBron coming to LA.
They're saying they need playoff LeBron right now.
Guy wants to be the Rock.
Too early
to be an NBA
player. Just save it. You're not making a dent in the playoffs.
Hey, Philip Nelson. and the AAF. The San Diego Fleet, they're going to be ready to go. Do not miss the historic San Diego Fleet home opener this Sunday, February 17th, 5 p.m. They take on the Atlanta Legends SDCCU Stadium. We'll take caller number 4 right now, 844-570-1360. Caller number 4 wins a 4-pack of tickets to the upcoming game on Sunday. You can catch it right here on Extra.
Our man, the Herd, thinks Dak Prescott should follow the example set by Tom Brady. The blueprint's laid out there. I completely disagree. Let's talk about it next.